Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Temptation Island wrap up. Today, we're talking about season 3, episode 7 of Temptation Island, Message in a Box. My name is Kirsten McInnes, and I'm joined, as always, by the wonderful Maggie Morgan. Maggie, how are you?
Hey, Kirsten. I'm doing amazing. I'm so excited to talk about this sort of lame episode of Temptation Island, but we have amazing guests to go over it with, so I can't wait to get started.
Yes, I don't even know where to start, but we have the most incredible duo. We've decided to have 4 people on the podcast for the first time ever. And we've brought
in... feel very special, guys.
This is a big deal.
High demand to get on the pod. So the fact that we opened it up to 4 is big.
Okay, so we are joined by an iconic duo that you might know from a little CBS show called Big Brother. Matt Hoffman and Brittany Godwin are here. Hello. Hi. How are you two doing?
Thank you for having us. Brittany and I are both longtime fans of Temptation Island, so we are excited.
Yes.
What about the show, like, drew you to it? What about this show specifically made you be like, that's something I gotta watch?
Okay, I watched Temptation Island in its original, like, how long ago was the original? It had to be 15 years ago.
It was in like 2007, I think.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yes. Like, yeah, I remember. The girl who later was like MTV famous. She had the little, you know what I'm talking about? That hair. Okay. I watched it like way back then. It was like original reality TV. Like, it was like very primitive reality TV. Okay. It was amazing. I was obsessed with it back then. So whenever they brought it back, I was like, yes, I'm into this.
And Mark L. Wahlberg was exactly the same. He had the same kind of, you know, that demeanor and his nature.
Imagine walking through life with the name Mark Wahlberg. Like, you have to, not only do you have to live your life, but you are also attempting to be in like showbiz. Mm-hmm. And you're like, but it's, people think they're getting Mark Wahlberg all the time. And
he's truly the Mark Wahlberg who sucks. Like, he's the Mark, like,
I mean,
like, oh my
like
God.
The other
wait
one is
minute,
so great. What are you talking about?
I mean, in like, in terms of excitement to get people.
In excitement, absolutely. You're talking about Marky Mark, like,
yes,
multiple huge movies.
He's like,
huge
in terms
movies
of highest rated movie
fame
star ever.
Okay. In terms of fame, yes. But in terms of quality.
Well, look, if I'm trying to get therapy, I'm obviously going to L. Wahlberg because that's what he does on the show. Marky Mark.
But can someone explain to me what qualifications he has to be counseling these people?
None.
He like got used to talking to people about like sentimental value on Antiques Roadshow, and then that made him think that he's a therapist.
And that made him think. And so he just like picks one thing out of everything that a person says, and he's like, well, let's touch further on that. And then he just like uses that as like a button word. He'll be like, yeah, no, but dig deeper and think, why did you do that? What were you thinking? Like, I'm like, what qualifications do you have? How did you
none?
Oh,
and it's very clear. It's very clear because he has about as much subtlety as like an elephant. Like he like is like, let's talk about your brother's overdose. What happened? Did you find him? How did it go? How did you? And she's like, I haven't even spoken about this with my closest friends. I'm not going to open up to you, Mark L. Wahlberg. Like,
he's great. He goes and sits down next to him like a good friend, you know?
Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Holds her
hand. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Great. So wait. No,
it's not weird at all.
So, okay, Mark L. Wahlberg went to Francis Marion University, but we don't know what he studied because his Wikipedia page is like 4 sentences long.
Oh,
okay, we got to bolster that.
What's going on?
Please compare and contrast to the other Mark Wahlbergs.
Thank you for being on my side, Brittany.
And then I rest my case.
Okay, fine. We'll go look up Marky Mark.
That's going to be a very lengthy
It's a much more substantial Wikipedia. You're right.
He's like literally the highest paid male movie star of like the 2010s. Like
shirtless pics all over Google.
Yeah. He owns some burger shops in Detroit.
Shirtless Mark L. Wahlberg. I'll bet if you Google for that.
Mark Wahlberg. I went to go look for his education as like a compare and contrast. And this is the most unhinged thing I've ever seen. The last sentence in Early Life goes, he developed an addiction to cocaine did not receive his high school diploma until 2013. Like, that's dark. It took me for a ride. Oh my God.
What do you think?
Actually more qualified.
Yeah.
He's been through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's
what would Marco Wahlberg's crew be called? Like Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. The boy, like
it'll be like Marky Mark and the Hot Dummies on an island.
The Tempters or something?
The Tempters. Before we jump into this episode specifically, I would love to hear from both of you what you think of these couples, if you have any particular favorites. How are you feeling about the season so far? We're halfway through it now.
All right.
Like for me, as a long-time fan like Brittany, I love this for the trash of it. And I love seeing these relationships just, you know, implode and crumble. And I love, and there's just a severe lack of infidelity this season, I feel, that is bothersome to me. I believe the two of you are new to Temptation. Now, I'm not sure of this, but I think so. And I mean, I got to say, this is like, I mean, I love this. It's a great, it's a great show. It's better than most of the junk on TV. But comparatively, I feel like we haven't gotten enough of like the juice.
They're too loyal. Mm-hmm. I totally, totally agree. I don't watch this show to watch you stay together. I'm not looking for a happy ending. That's not why I'm here. I'm watching this show to watch you completely implode and go crazy and ruin each other's lives. That's the point.
Yeah. See, I think the problem with this season, and obviously I don't really know from other seasons, is it's like the only like true infidelity is like the worst man alive being the worst man alive. So it's like, oh, this isn't even exciting. This is just the living worst.
And even when we're given that gift, the person that he's cheating on is the most emotionless person about it that I've ever seen in my life. Like, has she even shed a single tear? It's like, oh, he's
don't be
now
together.
Having a threesome.
Mark
heavy
my
sigh.
Words.
Well, okay, I'm going to go work out. Like, it's like, it's not even high drama. And he is literally having not only a threesome, there are complications in the threesome. There are issues.
The whole thing.
Feelings are getting hurt. There is more drama in that throuple than there is in the actual couple that it started with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
I do think we're getting somewhere with Chelsea and Thomas. Like, I think that we're on the cusp. I mean, I could not stop giggling to myself the last 5 minutes of the episode. And we'll get into it. But like, I mean, I wasn't like laughing at him. I was just like uncomfortable laughing at the situation because
I was laughing at him. Like, right in his
You
face.
Love Thomas? Thomas is your best friend?
I was laughing at him.
For Thomas, my poor football.
He's just got to show his aggression throwing like a foam football across the yard.
Poor Thomas.
And it's all the better because he looks just the slightest bit like Rob Sesternino. And so then you just laugh and laugh.
He's kind of like slowly getting out of that for me. Like, I remember episode one, I was like, oh shit, it's Rob. And now I'm kind of like, hey, he's turning more into Tom to me. But he still has those Rob, you know, vibes.
My main problem with Tom this episode is that he's like the type of person that is like makes me the most uncomfortable, which is when he gets emotional, his skin gets red. His like
I was
face
about
gets red,
to mention his redness.
Oh, I couldn't
I was about
handle
to
it.
Mention
I was,
it.
I was getting
so you think
I was,
it's just the emotions? Because I thought this was a lack of sunscreen.
I don't know because when he came back. But when he came back from the bonfire was when I really, it was like the back of his neck was burnt. And
his chest was on fire.
He's like a mood ring. Yes. Like when he changes color, like when he gets sad, he turns blue, he's like purple when he's happy or something.
I was dying on his whole segment because he was like, obviously so upset, distraught, crying because she was leaned back on Dr. Blake's legs. And he wrote his name in sunscreen on another girl's ass cheek and then spanked it.
Yeah.
But then, what? And then
well,
he
correct
sees
me if
her
I'm wrong.
Lounging.
And maybe I am wrong about
she
this.
She was
but
lounging in a pool and he's sobbing.
I think the implication to try and keep this clean was that she was being poked, right? A little, and then they
Matt is a pod listener. Yeah, Matt is a pod listener. So he did hear us talk about this last week, and which is that she was sort of rubbing her back against his boner.
And he
is
was
what
like,
we
did
think
you
was
feel
happening.
That?
No, I say you're wrong. I think he's literally just that big of a baby. Like, I think he's like, oh, it's fine. It's fine if I write Tom in sunscreen on this girl's ass cheek and then smack it. Like, weird anyway. And rub it in. Like, that's fine. But if you lean back on someone's knees.
Well, it wasn't a knee, I don't think, is the thing.
But, okay, but here's the thing. Even I do agree. I do think that there was some like dick to back situation last week. However, I still don't necessarily think that's worse than literally writing your name on a woman like she's your property and then smacking her ass.
I 100%
so much worse.
And also, especially when he's like 40 and she's 22.
Great stuff. This what? Is like no. You ask why do we like Temptation Island? It seems like that we like Temptation Island.
For me, my issue with all of it is that then he's like so shocked that he's like, I haven't crossed the line that
I know,
she's
right?
to have crossed. And it's like, no, she's just doing exactly what you're doing and you're upset by it because you're not used to seeing that behavior reflected.
And you're like, so upset. I have to call. I have to say another strong argument for him definitely not having a boner was all the segments that I've seen of her dirty dancing are the most embarrassing segments that I've ever seen in my life. And I don't think it's possible, having witnessed them in person, that he could even achieve a boner. I don't even think it's not even an option. Did you see in the toga that like intro and it's so bad.
And here's the thing.
She's got mom vibes.
In the pool, she is sitting down and not moving too much, right? So, like,
it's in my memory bank, and it's in his memory bank, and no one is forgetting it.
If we're gonna talk about, okay, let's get into it with Chelsea, because my problem with Chelsea is that her styling is horrible. She's about 28.
So
she's 28, and she looks like she's like a mom.
She's not 20.
Like,
is she?
Like,
I thought she was in her 30s.
Age.
For real.
She's my age.
No.
Yes. She's 28, 29. And
that's crazy.
It's the hair.
It's primarily the hair.
The hair is
primarily.
Wow. I can't believe she's that young.
Yeah. It's primarily the hair because her face is really
crazy.
Cute. She has like a very good
face. They're not putting ugly people on this show, right?
No,
she
exactly.
Styles herself like an ugly person.
And then there's the dancing.
Yeah.
On her Instagram, you can see that she's sort of gotten out of it and she looks very nice now. Like, she straightened her hair and she doesn't look like that.
She also has
all these cutouts like going on.
There's a lot of cutouts. You're absolutely right.
I don't know what's
every
what
day.
It's
a new cutout. You're absolutely right about
that.
And
it's like
her rib? She loves a cutout.
Yeah.
What is a cutout? I'm sorry. I'm not following.
It's like when
it's just like a section is missing.
It's not like a
your clothing.
It's like a very 2012 thing to wear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's forever 21.
Yeah.
Circa 2012.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's very odd. And when I like the very first impressions that I had of the season, I was like, this is the strangest season of hair I've seen, because between hers, which really bothered me because it was just like so many like short layers, just like stacked a million layers, and then the other guy, what's his name, the big one with the curls, Julian's hair bothered me so
same. I hate
that's
Julian's
bad.
Hair I hate it, it's terrible, and he always wears those headbands. It's why
it was better with the headband before, when there was no headband and it was like the curls were flat on the forehead, like in the first two seasons or episodes. I was like, this is the strangest cast hair ever.
Julian started dating Kristen when he was 14, so he's very comfortable in his relationship. And Chelsea just wants to talk to the manager. Like, I don't know. It's a problem.
So if we're going to talk about Thomas and Chelsea and sort of like the arc of the episode for them, when Thomas comes back and he's so upset and he's red, you know, he's like bright red.
He's like
very red.
Exactly 3 feet away from everyone else and say, I want to be alone.
he honestly, but like even as a child, I remember when I was in like elementary school and kids would cry in class and their faces would get red. I would just get like such secondhand embarrassment. I don't know why. It just has always been a thing. So it was very hard for me to watch him this episode. And yeah, he's sitting like 3 feet away and he's like, I don't want to talk to anybody. And then of course, like Sophia comes over, but I have a hard time with this aspect of Temptation. Well, I don't have a hard time with it. I mean, it's like why you watch the show. And it's that all of the relationship counseling these people are getting are by people who are desperately trying to sleep with them. It's like absolutely. The weirdest, like, they're like, well, I'm here like, for you.
You should not have to put up with that. That's terrible. If you feel that way, you're probably not meant to be together. I don't know.
It's like, oh, it might be a sign.
And like, probably not.
I wouldn't treat you that way. Like, I would never do that to the person that I'm with. And it's just like very, it honestly gives me like, just like, well, go ahead, Matt.
No, there have been times that Brittany, maybe you can remember specifically, but I'm certain, where like the temptresses, you know, they have a job to do. This is a game show for them. They need the time, right? And so like there are times when the temptresses would in fact seem to side with like the girlfriend in the case or the guy with the boy, it kind of in a reverse psychology way, going like, oh, you should really, you know, think about what she might be feeling. And the guy was like, butter up and go like, oh my God, you're right, you're so great. And then, you know, he starts falling for the temptress because she's sort of playing the other end. So this is a very interesting and complex show. I go back and watch
psychologically very complex. Yes. Okay, sorry, I'm gonna move my puppy real quick
because yeah, he's no worries, Brittany.
No worries.
Sort of a mill back there.
I know. Where is my husband who should be taking care of this situation?
Yeah, he's on the island.
Where is he?
Making his audition tape.
To be on TI. He wants to meet Mark L. Wahlberg in the Temptresses.
You know, they're casting for Temptation Island South Africa, I saw.
Ooh.
Like a real thing. Yeah, so I don't know if they have an international audience or not. I don't know if you do metrics on this show, but if there is any South African fans of the Kirsten Maggie Temptation Island Aria podcast, you should apply. Is there casting
now? Apply, get on the show, tell us everything about production.
No, you missed it. There's a Temptation Island South Africa happening.
Yeah.
They're casting. So we got to watch the international versions like we do with Big Brother Canada and stuff. Get all crazy about it.
Yeah, I love it. So then, okay, so later in the episode,
how low is your life sank when you're watching international versions of Temptation Island?
I think that's the next level.
Honestly,
point.
I ask myself this every day because my brand has become, oh, Kirsten podcasts about idiots on islands. And I'm like, what happened to me? Like, how did this become my life?
Where am I? What am I
like,
doing?
Oh, this is
I don't feel like Temptation Island South Africa could be equated to Big Brother Canada. Like, I feel like those are very different situations.
I feel like Brittany's going to subscribe to USA Plus and watch Before the Island, the journey.
Honestly, want Before the Island, After the Island. I want to wrap up.
I want
a reunion.
I want Before the Island. I want to know what made these people make this decision. My favorite thing about Thomas and Chelsea is Thomas is literally like, I can't believe she would cheat on me when she, I mean, hasn't really cheated on him.
Did this episode.
She did, but he doesn't know yet. Literally, all she did was lean on this other guy. She leaned on him.
No, boner or no boner? She made out with him.
He doesn't know that yet.
He doesn't know about it.
No.
And he doesn't know about it.
Can I just say that moment?
He's basing that on her leaning on that guy. It's so stupid.
The makeout moment in this episode with Dr. Blake, who Kirsten famously hates Dr. Blake.
I know. Immediately. It was on site with Dr. Mm-hmm. Blake.
She was like, that guy sucks. And I, in the first recap, I was like, what? He said two words. And she was right. But they tongue each other and it's pretty gross. And then she goes, that's the most romantic thing that's ever happened
to her.
She's sitting on the sand.
Ever.
Looking at the sunset. And a creepy guy makes out with her, and she says,
"Isn't that telling about what she's been through with
in her roughly 28 to 34 years of life? That is the most romantic thing that's ever happened."
Yeah,
you missed the best part, Maggie. You forgot the best part.
What's the best part?
Is the foreplay leading up to it when he blew on her chest for reasons I can't explain to you. As a man myself, never used that move, never even heard of it in the locker rooms or nothing.
He blows on her chest and then goes, "Oh, are you blushing?
What is like?" Does that work, girls, ladies? I mean, I don't know. Maybe
never happened to me, and I hope it never does.
Wow!
Oh my gosh!
I wonder.
He has a super, super, super high opinion of himself and his breath, apparently, and like clearly had
it's magic.
He goes, "Are you blushing? No, she's not blushing. Why are you being weird?"
Okay, so what was your first clue that made you like think that he was kind of a douche? Like, what was the first indicator?
In the first episode, Dr. Blake goes, "I'm going to find a woman and fixate all of my attention on her and like make her like me." And I was like, this is a problem. Like, this is just the way he said it. I was just immediately like the hair on the back of my neck stood up and I was like, he is a scumbag. He wants to like put his attention on someone vulnerable to like get them.
So what I hoped you were going to say was when you noticed how he shaves from head to toe and is so smooth, like he's as smooth as a baby seal. Have you noticed? Not a leg hair. There are no hairs to be found on Dr. Blake.
That would have been a major red flag, but we saw him in a shirt say the thing that bothered me before we saw him not in a shirt.
Okay.
Right. That is very troubling.
Well, if you notice, like from a distance, when it shows like his very tan, exfoliated, shaved leg, it is smoother than mine would ever be, His attention to his maintenance is so high, which is another reason I believe like he is so super confident in himself. I mean, this is a man who loves himself. This is a man who is taking the time. He is lathering the shaving cream daily. He is buying the most expensive of razors. There is nary a bump or no razor burn. He has it down to a science and art. He loves himself.
Himself
very smooth.
This is the best podcast we've ever done. I have to say, this is the best podcast we've ever done, Kirsten. That alone made me about fall off my chair. Also,
I noticed the most like subtle of things. These are always what I noticed.
Yes, and also
it's important.
Kirsten and I, the thing that tipped me off after the first episode is that we had a listener send me a flyer because Dr. Blake had hosted a viewing party at a bar in St. Louis for this in the middle of COVID. This was in February. This was before even like any old people were vaccinated. So like he literally was hosting a viewing party at a bar in St. Louis
How many Dr. Blake dick pics are in the Instagram file?
Oh, there's thousands. So many. There are thousands. So many.
You're so right. That
and
is
he's
the vibe.
Not the type. He's not cutting out his head because he's very proud of everything. He's probably sultry faces. Like I can see them being very elaborate dick pics.
And you'll know
they're
it's
not
his.
Just like a standard.
You'll know it's his because everything will look like smoother than a dolphin.
So freaking smooth. So freaking smooth. Not a hair to be found. It's so amazing. Especially like here we are three women. It's a global pandemic. It's COVID. We're probably not shaving our legs more than once a week. Not Dr. Blake. Yeah. He's shaving every day.
Well, he's on television, Brittany. He's on TV.
Shaving twice a day. Like
maybe twice a day.
That might not be a daily ritual.
He's got a lot of appearances now, too, though, to make.
That's true.
Doing running the circuit.
That's true.
Oh, God.
Okay, so speaking about his viewing party, this is another thing that I've thought about so many times. Okay, so when they had the little segment on the show last night where they got in the fight about the chicken, which, first of all, okay, the fact that that had to be a dedicated segment kind of speaks to the season as a whole. Mm-hmm. Like well, after that,
over a commercial break too.
Yeah, it was a long. And then the next day they had follow up.
Yeah, Julian and his confessionals.
Julian and his confessionals
was like, "Are we really talking about this?" He was like, "Yeah, I guess like Maya was upset about the chicken." I guess like his confessionals were like
literally
so lackluster.
It was
the fact that that had to make it to the. airing of the, like the fact that that wasn't cut.
Yeah.
Is very telling of what we're working with as far as infidelity.
And it's like an hour and 10 minute episode. Yeah. What are you doing?
It's literally like two women got kind of annoyed with each other. And then it was like, oh wow. Now she has to make an apology tour because she was a little
so bizarre.
Like it's not
okay,
even,
but
like,
here's mine.
Angry. Like if someone had hit, like if one of them had hit the other with a chicken breast, then I want that
football.
On the show.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. But no, this was like a very lackluster argument by any standards of any reality show. And then, but here's my main point about it: the two girls who were mad about the chicken, not the one girl who kind of likes Julie, and the other two. I've never seen them before. I don't know who they are. No. Yeah. I haven't even seen them in the background. I haven't
one
seen
them. One of them is Corey's girl.
Yeah. One of them was
Corey doesn't really. Corey doesn't really have a girl, but I guess if you want to, I understand what you're saying. He's sat near her a couple of times.
He always has both of them real hammered talking outside. It's always like one two super drunk.
But the other
porch.
Girl, you cannot tell me you've ever seen
never.
That other girl.
No,
you've
she,
never
no.
seen her.
She went home in this never episode and I was like, this is a stranger to me. Like she made
stranger.
It through a
stranger.
First elimination. Like, did she get introduced after the last elimination? I've
who
never
is
seen
she?
Her in my life.
Okay,
her name
so,
was Maddie, I think, but I don't know her.
Maddie, yeah,
imagine
she got eliminated
being
this
Maddie,
yeah.
Imagine you're Maddie and you're like, oh my God, you guys, I was on Temptation Island. It was amazing. We had the best parties. Oh my God, we got wasted. I can't wait for you guys to see my toga and my duct tape outfit. It was incredible. It was the greatest time of my life. You guys, it's going to be amazing. Let's have a viewing party at the bar and watch this show together because you guys, I'm telling you, this season was crazy. And then, like, you're never on the show one time until you got in a fight about chicken and we're halfway through the season. And it was the first time anyone ever saw your face. Like, do you think that she went and told people she was on this show?
Yes.
And then, like, as the weeks went on,
Brittany,
it was like...
When she got eliminated. Well, I actually don't think...
No, that was Grace.
The other
it was,
girl.
Yeah, no, it was the other one was named Grace, who's another woman I've never seen before in my life.
Yeah,
and she
never
was
seen
weeping
before.
About how her time couldn't be over. She hasn't learned enough. And then both of them said, they looked at those four men. They looked at...
I know.
Ernest, Kendall, Corey, and Julian, and said, you've made me believe that there are
you've
good
made me
men
so
in this
much
world.
Better of a person. Oh my God. It's so... It's so sad. These people probably, I want you to realize they probably thought that they were like real characters on the show. Like they went home from filming. They were like, oh, I'm going to be Instagram famous that time that I did that shot. And then I made that face and like, whoa, this is going to go viral. I'm going to be a meme. Like, obviously
oh
it's going to be.
They were
so excited that they filmed this reality show. And then it turns out they were not on it. They were not on it except for like a 15-second snippet. And
where
I just wonder like, oh, that's so
but
sad.
Don't you
I hope,
feel
I hope they didn't see, have a viewing party because that's it's bad.
I have
bad.
A different take. I feel like if you can make it through Temptation Island barely gracing the screen, you are the winner of the season, and the losers are
the
fathers
you're
the
winner.
Of
the you're
remaining temptresses. Because you're a parent. If your daughter was like the final temptress on Temptation Island, something's went wrong.
Like your son is Dr. Blake.
Oh my God, imagine being
your perspective,
Blake.
Of course. I'm saying, I'm sure that
yes.
this makes them better people, but it's not going to make them more Instagram famous, let me tell you. And I really just hope that they didn't go home and brag to their friends that they were on this program. Because then, as we've seen, they weren't on this program really at all.
They
like,
can't
they did a very dollars. Bad job kind of showing, like, who... It, like, we don't see the majority of anyone. Like, if you haven't been... on a one-on-one date or whatever, or you, you know, if you haven't had like any of that dedicated time, you're really not on this show mm-hmm. at all.
Oh, and you got to get in quick too. Yeah. It's like a day.
You
got to
get
alliance.
In quick.
Yeah.
Yes. Day one alliance.
You got to get it. Yeah.
Even that girl that the chicken thing was about, that Julian's girl. I mean, she hasn't really been on the show that much herself.
Yeah, not a lot.
My mom had something to say about the chicken fight.
Can I?
I make my mother watch the show.
One thing before we get married.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
It was low key kind of iconic when Maya was standing there with a giant knife saying, "Don't fuck with me," over chicken breast.
Over taking five pieces of chicken to put on the grill.
Maybe she was kind of mad because I guess she was holding a weapon.
Aggressive.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I make my mother watch the show. So every week she watches this beautiful show. But she's in her 50s. She's been married to my father since she was like 24. She doesn't, this is like a lot for her. And she texts me her thoughts. So her thought about the chicken fight was just, apparently Maya got too much sun and it's making her cranky, LOL. And then she did have a comment about the girls who went home, which was basically, who were those girls that were even eliminated? I've never seen either of them before
exactly.
in my life.
Yeah. Never seen them. Never before been seen. Not on this program.
Like, they could go on another show, and I would be like, oh, look, these new contestants.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, you have to consider these people are drinking. I mean, they're given alcohol.
Never stops. It never stops.
Sundown. So I'm sure a chicken fight is actually happening 700 times a day, because when you have a bunch of drunk people, especially like young people together, they're going to act ridiculous when they're drinking like that. And they're going to fight about the dumbest, like worst, dumbest things ever.
I think that's why this week, you know, the throuple had all their drama and Alexis was like, I don't want to tonight. Probably because she was taking a night off from drinking and was like, I'm tired. I've been drunk for 3 weeks. Like, I can't even do two nights in a row getting drunk. Like, I don't know how these people just got, like,
because
their livers must be destroyed.
Never stop drinking, you don't get the hangover, Maggie. This is why they keep giving them alcohol.
I mean,
okay,
it's
but
working.
That's not true when you get older, because I'm, how old am I? 33. I swear to you, if I drink one night, like the most low key day on Temptation Island, I would be hospitalized. I would be hospitalized. I would be in like a halo. Medically induced coma, recovering for days. Like, when you get old, you just can't do that. It brings me pain and suffering to watch other people do it. Imagining if that was me, I would die.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even, like, I have gotten like really, really sick off of like two tequila shots. So when I'm watching them like take shot after after shot, I'm like,
not two tequila shots.
Look, I am very sensitive. I don't know what to say. I'm a lightweight. I don't know. I don't spend that much money on alcohol.
Can we talk about the Alexis Kendall situation?
Sure.
Because she literally is like, are you thinking about your girlfriend? Are you in a relationship? I don't know. When he has been with this woman for 2.5 years and he tells her it's going to be a game day decision.
A game. And like, also, why is Alexis okay with this? Like, forget about the girlfriend I bring up with you. Like, why is she okay with that?
I mean,
she's like, oh, really? A game day decision.
Brittany.
Well, okay.
Let's look at Alexis's character here. All right. I mean, I think Alexis is happy for the screen time, if we're going to be honest.
At least she is the star feature of the throuple. How about that poor other girl who's
Ryan, what's her name?
Nicole.
With I hope CK. Nicole didn't tell her parents that she was on the show, because
she's not having viewing parties, I don't think.
She's had a couple really like rough moments where, like, you know, the fight that she had with Corey, where she was just, like, blackout drunk.
Yeah, she's the drunkest girl on the island for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would befriend Nicole in, like, a bathroom in a club and then never see her again and be like, oh, I wonder how she's
exchange
doing.
Numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. You would have a moment. You would have a strong moment.
I could just tell that Nicole and Alexis are hardcore when they literally put duct tape on their boobs. Like, they had duct tape on their nipples.
They for sure had a band-aid under that. There's no way they put the duct tape straight on the nipple. Not a chance.
I mean,
people are unfamiliar with pasties, Maggie? Come on.
Hey, I mean, I probably would have been unfamiliar, so I might have, you know, made some mistakes if that was my plan, but...
You would have been more like the girl with the wash rags. I was like, is she wearing wash rags?
That would have been me.
She just had tape over her nipples and then, like, tied a face cloth around her chest.
A face cloth.
The guy parties are so, it's so different than the girl parties. The girl parties, so like, they have costumes, they're playing games, like wheelbarrow races and stuff.
Yeah,
the
guy's just fine.
No. They're like spraying each other with booze and grinding and throwing things in the air. It's like, what is happening?
Corey was wearing a burlap sack, like a literal burlap sack.
That would be me. I would be wearing the burlap sack.
Where did you get a burlap sack over?
At the girls' side, it's just like Julian's girlfriend's just like pouting in a corner. She's not even at the party. Has she ever been to a party?
No.
I don't think she's attended one of those celebrations. Not one. It's just like this, like, really sad. Like, I loved, I have no idea who it was, but they were like, do you guys feel like the vibe is off? And that made me laugh so hard whenever they said that, because it was like, yes, they're trying to make these parties back at the girls' side look fun, but they're not fun.
Like, it's the wheelbarrow girls. Was fun. Like the wheelbarrow race. Yeah,
just classic wheelbarrow racing, what you do when you're in your early 20s getting drunk.
I would have had a good time.
Then they switched to do the piggyback, like, race, and I was having Big Brother 19 flashbacks. I was like, this is Christmas and Whistlenut. Someone's going to fall. A foot will be broken. Like, I can't watch this.
She did fall pretty hard.
Female perspective, ladies. What is your opinion on Shaq?
Horrible. He said in the first episode he wanted to fertilize a woman. I hate him. I hate him.
I think he's a really bad tempter. Like, he's not doing his job. He's like, I can't wait for Corey to mess up. And as soon as he does, I mean, it's like, dude, do your job. Like, why is your job contingent on what's happening to Corey? You are hired to tempt her, regardless.
You're a tempter.
Shaq also says, I can't believe Aaron isn't giving in to me. Ew!
He was trying so hard that she had to be like, I have to kick this guy off. I realize he's my main storyline. Yes. I realize that now I'm halfway through the season, I'm left with nobody, but it's too much. Like, he was like on her like glue. Like, he's suffocating.
That decision is like a reason why I'm not digging this season as much. Like, that was totally the responsible decision that Aaron did, and I hated her for it. Like, she actually left him and Stacey happened.
Strung him along, made him cry, broke him in the end.
That's true.
I agree.
But she's learning that she can't emotionally manipulate people. Like, Temptation Island is working this season. Like, they're all fixing their issues. And it's
having a journey.
Like, this isn't Marco what Walmart I signed up for. Marco has
been talking about this journey since, like, 2007. No one knows what the fuck he's talking about. Now people actually have a journey, lo and behold.
No, I disagree with the journey. They're all just allegedly on a journey and giving us sound bites. But this is not anyone's journey. This is not a journey. That's not what this is. And I refuse to believe otherwise.
I think that there's an argument to be made that Kristen, Julian, Corey, Aaron, and Erica are all having separate journeys right now.
No, I think Thomas and Chelsea are having the most separate of journeys.
Oh, that's not a journey. That's just mess.
Okay, I feel like Thomas, and I don't like him at all, but I feel he's kind of in a way less shady than Chelsea at this point. Like,
Chelsea has decided, okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to stick to my guns. And now I feel like she's second guessing that. Like, she's like, oh,
her eyes,
now,
We can talk about all of the videos like individually. Yep. Maybe we want to go through them so that we can give like full commentary on everything.
Yes.
But like I know I caught that too, Brittany. Like her eyes bugged out of her head when he did his
she
video.
Could not
and he mentioned the cats and she was like, she was like, I forgot we have cats.
Yeah,
he brought the children into this.
Yeah, her soul like left her body when she saw his video.
It's amazing. So, okay, so the first video.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we get away from drunken party night,
we
passed over my singular favorite part of the episode. So I'd hate to like gloss over that. It was a quote.
What is it?
It's one of the only things I like actually wrote down because I don't want to mess it up. It was from Kendall, and the scene is drunken party night, and he is getting frustrated that he is seeming to find out that a threesome is not happening that night, and we get the following quote. From Kendall, my favorite part of the episode. Kendall, dead serious. In terms of my journey, this puts me in an awkward position.
I wrote that down too.
His journey seems to be dependent on having regular threesomes periodically.
But like just before that, they're all in the hot tub and him and Nicole are kind of like, oh, let's talk about the game plan. What's going on tonight? And Nicole's like, well, Alexis, like she's the one in the whatever. And Alexis goes like, oh, well, don't expect that again. And Kendall goes, I expect it all the time.
Yeah. He's like, this is my journey. And then Alexis get bails, right? And then we get this scene of all the girls like shocked that she's exhibited a modicum of self-respect. Like, what? She's going to bed by herself? And even like, you know, then you get her confession and she's like, she herself is like, you know, like no one can believe that I don't want to, you know, go have gross sex with these two people I met a week and a half ago. It's just like astounding.
Like she literally at one point goes like, yeah, I'm going to bed and that's like final decision. And it makes sense because when they had the threesome before, like we talked about this last time, the next morning she literally in the confessional is like, yeah, that was out of my comfort zone. And like, I don't want to do that again. Like she obviously just doesn't want to continue to have threesomes, which is fine.
Yeah, right.
Like she doesn't have to keep doing that.
Yeah, she's very welcome to make a choice about if or if she doesn't want to have a threesome on the show. But according to Kendall, he's the only person who's smart enough to ever make a choice. And he, you know, the women in his life, he knows what they're capable of. And if they make, you know, exhibit behaviors that are similar to his, he'll know that they can't handle it the way that he can. So you know, it's just like a...
And they can't walk back on that commitment. Once they've given him that commitment, they cannot walk back on that at all.
Worst guy.
And he also, he seems to think he's done nothing wrong either. Yeah. Like at all. Like he's
honestly a sociopath. He's like got dead eyes. Like
he's like, but wait, but this is my journey. All I'm doing is walking on my journey.
He
believes his own bullshit. I think
he's done. It's for his growth. Yeah. Okay, it's for his growth.
It's his growth.
No, but it's not. He doesn't have any growing to do. Erica has to work on herself. He's not growing. He's on a journey. He's not growing.
This is a dead serious question. He says this all the time. Like Erica needs this change, or she needs to grow. Does anyone have an understanding of what he thinks that growth is supposed to be? Does he want her to like bang dudes, or is this something different?
So I think like the whole thing with Kendall is that he wants Erica to just always feel like she needs to be better and that she is not enough for him, so that she will cling to him and be like, oh, you're too good for me and I'm so lucky that you want to be with me, and then she'll just deal with more and more of his bullshit every day until they die, because he wants to just like break her down and make her into like whatever he wants so that he never has to worry about losing her. Disgusting.
Crazy.
He's worst. And the other guys have like turned on him too. They even know he's the worst. They're like, you are terrible.
Yeah.
You're horrible. Yeah. We're not bros with you at all. Yeah. Like they're in an alliance against him.
I wish they could send him home. Okay, before we go to the videos, we should, I guess, talk about a man named Dave was sent home this episode as well. Again,
I do know who Dave is. He's the annoying one at the beginning of the parties who's always like, "Party's here," or he's like, "Yeah, we're taking shots." He's that guy. That guy gets sent home.
I gotta tell you, Meg, that doesn't sound like someone I've seen on this show.
No.
I'm gonna. Nope. I'm posting the clips of him. I'm going to find the clips of him.
Make a Dave compilation for us.
I will.
Like an
in
memoriam. An R.I.P.
I have no... An R.I.P. I have no idea who he is. Never, never seen him.
You could put anyone in every episode.
Another person that I hope did not host a viewing party. I really hope that he did not say, come one, come all. We've got to watch the show that I'm on. It's going to be amazing. It's the best journey of my life. I learned so much. And only to never be seen.
Yeah.
The whole season.
And then Aaron and Shaq cried together when they sent Shaq home, which was like very uncomfortable.
So embarrassing.
For me to watch. I didn't care.
So embarrassing. It's the worst.
Like, ugh. Okay. Then we got like 20 minutes of video messages, because every message has to have like a 4-minute montage of the person walking.
An intro.
The box, like with an iPad in it.
It was a beautiful hallway, to be fair. I thought that the hall was very architecturally lovely, but yeah.
And we got to see the full ensemble that they chose to wear, because we got, it was like a runway almost, this hallway. Yeah. So we got to see
What did you think of Erin's lavender? This was the one that I wrote down. Her lavender dress.
Her body is banging. Like, she looks very, very good in it. Like, she, everything she wears, she looks really, really good.
I just thought the color was a bit off for her coloring. I would have liked her in a darker purple, but, you know,
I love that color. That's like a nice periwinkle. I'm very into a periwinkle.
Oh, all right.
I feel like you don't see it that often. It's an underappreciated color.
Why.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I was feeling a bit weird about
Aaron's
it.
And Aaron's dress?
You don't get it
because you're not blonde, Maggie. It's fine.
You're right. I'm sorry. You're right. I could never wear periwinkle. So
no,
that
you could.
Sense.
You absolutely could.
No.
Okay.
No.
Aaron is like terrified Corey's going to break up with her in his video.
For whatever reason. Like, for whatever reason.
Yeah. He basically just says that he's feeling more confident and he knows he'll leave here a better man. And he's unsure of what their relationship holds. And she's sort of like, oh, he didn't say he loved me or that he cared about me at all. I'm fine. I'm not worried. When she's like clearly about to go back to the villa and cry for the 75th time.
I was like, are you kidding me? You just said you think he's going to break up with you. He doesn't break up with you. And then now you found something else to complain about. I was upset about that.
I mean, what could he even possibly be up? Like, what is the fear? I don't understand the fear. Like, neither of them have done anything.
He's so bland.
Program.
He's the blandest of
so
bland.
Bland.
My mom has a crush on Corey. That's how bland.
Oh my
he
goodness.
Is. My mom is like, she was so happy after his video. He like smiled, like was happy and smiled. And she was like, I love seeing Corey smile. And I was like, that's how you know he's boring. That my mother loves him.
I would love for Mary to love herself a little more than that. That's
no, awesome. she just likes that he's like the one guy who like clearly isn't going to cheat on his girlfriend. And like from the beginning,
you think
been
he's
a team
less
story.
Likely to cheat than Julian at this moment in time?
No, but I think that she was like stuck her like this was her, the horse that she chose. And this is the one that she's sticking with. But okay, so yeah, so his clip from Aaron, she says that she thought that when they came here that he was the only one that needed to work on things, but now she knows too, you know, she's gotten courage to be vulnerable, and maybe this means she'll stop talking about soccer, please.
Well, maybe that's part of the journey.
Yeah.
Did you love that clip at the very beginning of the season when she was talking to that one guy and he's like, yeah, sometimes I just want to suit up and go to facility. And she was like, yes, of course. I always am dreaming of going to facility. Like, what?
There is nowhere I want to go less than something called facility.
The facility.
Like, that sounds dystopian as hell.
Right? I just want to suit up and go to facility. And they were like,
the most boring conversation I've ever heard.
ever.
Oh, traumatizing.
So Erica's video from Kendall is next.
Oh my God.
And,
Kate.
You know, Kendall says that he knows that they've been having rocky times, but they have a strong foundation. And strong he makes foundation. Sure he reminds her.
Yeah,
he reminds
he
her that they came
in
with
no rules. You know, he's like, I don't want there
so
to be
it's
any
fair
questions.
Game.
Okay. I don't want you to have any questions about our relationship. Like, I hope you're becoming the woman I know you can be. Mm-hmm. Like, he literally thinks that he can do all of this and leave with her. Like, he thinks, yeah, this is going to happen.
This is the first time I've thought he was like, delusional.
He doesn't seem to understand. Or, okay, so it's one of two choices. Either he doesn't understand that they are showing her video footage. Like, he thinks that that's a one-way street, that only the guys are seeing footage at Bonfire. Or two, he believes that there's a possibility that it doesn't make the cut, or like he's unaware of the camera in the room, maybe. And if he denies it aggressively on camera, or doesn't mention it or shuts it down, that it somehow won't make it on television. I feel like it's one of those.
That would be the best final Bonfire. If you're right about that, and if final Bonfire happens, she's like, "You're a scumbag. I'm obviously out. It's like sleeping with all these women." He's like, "You saw that? You know?" He's like,
"You saw that?" It's like doesn't realize that she's seen it. It's like he's like, it's so bizarre. Does he truly not believe that she knows?
I think he knows she knows and thinks that he has a strong enough pull that it doesn't matter. He can get her back. Like, I think he thinks he's like just the smoothest man in the world because he hasn't seen Dr. Blake before. Right. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I think there's a possibility he's unaware of the camera in the corner. I think he thinks that his room is a safety zone and he doesn't know that it's there.
Oh my God.
That's what I believe.
I don't know if that's better or worse. Like, is he malicious or is he stupid?
Yeah. Stupid.
He's on a journey.
Yeah. So she's mostly pissed, though, out of this whole thing. This is what makes me be like, oh, no, Erica. Oh, no. Because out of this whole video, she's pissed that he said that they'll come out stronger together. And she's like, I can't believe he said we would come out stronger together after what he's done. And I'm like, oh, can we maybe focus on the fact that he's saying, like, that you need to work on yourself? Like maybe, like, that's not the worst part of the video. But, you know, I mean, I guess for her.
I think they're going to end up together. Not, like, on the season, but in the when we get the recap show, like, the postseason, I bet you they're together.
I don't know this.
I know nothing. I don't know any spoilers. I don't know anything. I feel like
it seemed like on the very first episode, whenever they're talking about sort of like their relationship at home, it was like he was like he's borderline abusive with just like the mind game.
No, he straight up last week he's like we found out that he told her she needs to spend less time with her family because they take away from her growth. Like he's like
exactly.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you what he's gonna say too to like win her back after the season and after it airs, before the reunion show. He's gonna play the angle. Because he's been doing, I feel this might have been even like preemptively sort of premeditated that he's going to go, it was all physical. Every time you always see me talking about you, I never said I didn't want to be with you. I never said we weren't together. I always said, you know, I was thinking about, you know, he's going to go, it was just physical. That's what he's going to say. And she's going to buy that shit. And on the reunion show, they're going to be back together.
He's going to say that. And then he's going to be like, oh my God, like you've grown so much. I knew that you could like be this one. No.
It's going to happen.
I see the gaslighting. I see it. Oh, no. I hate that.
I can't wait for the reunion show.
Ugh, I can't.
That would be the worst. I do not think they're going to end up together.
I hope not.
There's no way.
I hope not. It does give me a little hope that she did not leave him a video message at all. Mm-hmm. But I kind of wish she had left him one being like, screw you, buddy. Like, you're the worst and we're done.
Well,
I have to say, if you... Okay, did you guys not watch last season?
Oh, I did.
Okay, so last season, there was a guy, sort of a similar situation with Kendall, because he actually engaged in the same type of activities.
Threesome, very early on.
And he and his girlfriend did not leave together. Am I right, Matt? They didn't leave together. Correct. But then they got back together after the show. They got back together.
But before the reunion. So they came on the reunion together.
And then they ultimately have broken up now because I was like, oh, remember them.
On the reunion, while they're together, so it's like the main couple's on stage and then like across the stage is all the tempters and temptresses. And one of the temptresses is like, well, we were in this hotel for this special I hooked up with the guy.
Yes, and that's
like,
right.
She had like
that's
pictures right. in the hotel room or something.
Yes.
And she's like, no. Right. This is crazy. The whole thing's
crazy.
Oh my
God.
I'm telling you. Go back and watch these other seasons. It's on my list.
It was very similar to the Kendall situation. Like the way that he behaved was really, really similar. And then she did end up getting back together with him for a period of time after doing all that.
I say this to say anything is possible. Matt could be right. Anything is possible. Dare to dream
with Temptation Island, you know.
Dare to dream. No dream is too small.
Kendall also starts getting upset about how he doesn't think Erica can think for herself because she didn't leave him a message.
He says he doesn't know what the guys in the villa are putting in her head. It's like, dude, she watched you have a threesome. She doesn't want to talk to you.
That's why my mind just won't let me believe that he thinks she knows. It's like, I can't wrap my head around the fact that he is acknowledging that she knows about it because all of his, everything he says otherwise. It's like he thinks that she doesn't know. Everything that he says is like, he believes that she doesn't know.
I think he just is going to pretend that it didn't happen until the day he dies. Yes. It doesn't matter. You could
deny, show him
definition and he would deny. Yeah.
Yes, it's like that old song from the 2000s. Era that was like, it wasn't me. And then she comes in. That's going to be him. He's going to be like, no, that wasn't my room. What you're actually seeing is footage of Julian's room. Mm-hmm. That's why it's blurry. That's not my body.
Deepfake. Mark Wahlberg is deepfaking.
Yes.
he's like, actually, no, I got that face off surgery. That wasn't me.
Yes.
Like,
that's fine. Fake news. That was all fake news, all that. Absolutely. Like, he's just going to deny.
I hate him. Kendall is the living worst.
Yeah, he's terrible. He's so terrible that my mom called me this morning to rant about how much she hates Kendall. She was like, this guy, I don't know where he gets off. And I was like, Mom, we'll have you on the pod and you can talk all about it.
Can't wait for Mary to come on the pod. Kristen and Julian's videos were really boring. And it was just them being like, oh, we've been through a lot. And I
love you.
And they were so clearly reading. Maybe they all were, but they specifically distracted.
Yes. I agree.
His eyes were fluttering and he's like,
his eyes are
I
moving.
Know that yes. I love you. I think we will have a future. It's like, dude, what, did you even write this? Did you do this?
Okay. Corey was really pretty bad with it, too. His eyes were doing the same thing. Like, it was very clear that they were, like, reading a script.
That's what Erin said. She was like, it was so, like, unemotional. It's probably just because he's a bad actor.
Probably.
He didn't even say.
He didn't even say he loves her, Maggie, okay?
Aww. Yeah, for sure.
It wasn't written for him. He couldn't do that himself.
Then we get to the good stuff, which is Chelsea and Thomas's video, which she comes out and she's walking down her runway and she says she feels like she's over him because he's partying with every girl in the house.
He's
and
so she's, flirty. His flirty nature.
Take a drink every time you hear Chelsea say flirty nature. You'll be wasted by the end of the episode.
Meanwhile, this man is what? He's 40, right? Yeah. Is it still flirty when you're 40? I feel like flirty is a younger vibe. I don't know if you're still flirty at 40. Maybe.
Sophia likes it. So, you know, at least it's not like creepy.
I was not
like,
flirty at 40.
I mean, I think it's, I personally.
Matt is not flirty at 40.
No.
Okay. But she also knows I don't want to be one of these background people. I am going to, where I see the opportunity, I'm going to take it. It just happened to be with little Tom.
So with good old boy Tom.
Happened to be her end.
Tom says one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life in this video, which is he addresses her as baby doll.
No.
He says, hey, baby doll, I miss you and love you. And I, like, my body, like, turned inside out. Like, I was so uncomfortable.
And then he brought up the cat. It wasn't a great, if they don't work out as a couple, the future's not bright for him after that video. Like, any potential temptresses are going to see that and be like, no,
this is the episode that turned the tides on me. Like, I think that Chelsea's worse than Tom at this point, but I didn't think that prior. I think she has this rap that he's like this bachelor guy. He's been with the same girl the whole time. She's been with the same guy the whole time, except she kind of hooked up with him. And I mean, he wrote his name in her ass in chocolate, but he didn't like hook up with her.
No,
whatever that. What was that?
No,
what was Matt, it?
They were like chocolate. They were like exfoliating. I think it was mud.
Oh, they were. Matt, was it like chocolate flavored? It looked chocolatey.
Chocolate mud.
Chocolate mud. Maybe we don't know. I guess we don't know. Maybe we'll find out in the reunion.
Yeah. How could you ever know? Okay.
No, Matt.
But anyway, I don't think he's as bad as she is.
Nope, Thomas. I've known that Thomas has sucked since the date that they went on, where he put the flower in Sophia's hair and was like making eyes at her and like raising his eyebrows at her and was like,
"Ew,
so pretty." I was like, "Go away!" If I saw my boyfriend doing this, it would be over. Like, you do not get to go on a date with someone.
That's his flirty nature.
Not for me.
I
do think, though, that Chelsea like expected that he was going to do something even worse than, you know, the week before. And so that's what made her like take the plunge. And so then she was completely taken aback by the video message.
Freaked out. Her eyes bugged out of her head. And she was like shaking after the video. She literally started shaking and she was like, "I just think that we aren't compatible." But I think that she just was not expecting that at all. And I want to know what is more embarrassing for Thomas. Him turning red when he gets emotional. Him saying baby doll or him referencing the cats. What's more embarrassing?
The cat.
I don't know. Baby doll is just
so... I'm making a case for baby doll.
Yeah.
I'm making a case for baby doll.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
You can always say the cats belong to someone else. Mm-hmm. Or you rescue those cats from a very traumatic situation and sort of nurse them back to mental health. Like, okay. I feel like there are excuses to be made for the animals.
You could say the cats.
There are no excuses.
You know?
Yeah, there you go. There are no excuses to be made for baby doll.
Yeah, nobody should call anybody baby doll.
No. Also, not to just like completely crap all over Thomas, but his hair in this video did not look good. I don't know if you noticed that, either of you.
Poor Thomas.
Not good.
It's not a good season for hair overall.
So uncomfortable.
He's having a bumpy journey.
Yeah, he's really
take it easy on him.
His flirty nature is taking a hit.
That was a bit mean of me to like really go for the hair.
Marco Wahlberg hasn't been around. There's no bonfire. We haven't had any good advice lately.
He's just been like running his hands through his hair, just like grabbing it, like so upset. Okay, so Chelsea and hers.
We need to turn this journey of this pod around and just talk about what we love about everybody and how great they look. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of on like a journey of negativity right now. So,
especially with this particular program, because it's really delivering us so little right now.
Yeah.
I feel that way. It's just, this is... I don't know. There's just the infidelity is so low this season.
You very first texted me about the season. You were like, "Oh, I think everybody's going to cheat this season."
I did.
Yes. Like strong cheater vibes. And then it turns out, no, like nobody.
Who
cheating.
Has? I mean,
it's very boring.
Kendall and Chelsea. Which is
and
weird.
Kendall chose to do it on day two. So it didn't
it
out. He delivered so early, though. Like, we needed a little bit
like
longer
to
build
up to
that.
Like, he can't even talk, like, what he's done. Like, he can't.
No.
He went straight for the threesome. He did go straight
for
the threesome.
How could he possibly top it? And see, that's where David from last season was a little bit better. He drew it out a little longer. He started slow.
He
didn't just dive right in on night two.
But
you know,
there was
built
enough
up
distraction with everyone else cheating, too. Like, you got more, it was more
that's
activity.
True. And now you have half of the couples doing nothing
I'm concerned a lot of these people are going to stay together, and that bothers
it bothers me.
That's, not what I'm here
why
for.
That's not what I tuned in for at all. That's not what I wanted to see. That's not why I watched this program. Whoever's in charge of casting at Temptation Island next season, we need more aggressive cheaters. We don't want to see a single couple go through this process and make it out to the other side. That's not why we watch.
I think it's the tempters. The temptresses. This is a job. They need to cast these people who like want to do their job. Yes. This isn't a party. Yeah. It's a party for the contestants. The tempters have a job to do.
And that's right. You know what? You're right. Spinoff show.
It's not a party.
Tempter Temptress Academy. Where they learn technique.
They learn
to be a better tempter or
get to go on the show.
Mark Wahlberg
needs to like not just appear at the bonfires. Like if things are going wrong, he needs to inject himself and like put the smack down a little. Be like, guys, what's going on here? You know, no one's cheating, and you guys are all drunk all the time. You don't do your jobs or you're out.
I want to see, more aggressive cheating, and I want to see retaliation. Like, I want to see someone get cheated on, and then they're like, okay, well, now I'm going to cheat on them back. That's what I want.
I think that's what's going to happen with Thomas, right?
Oh, like, 100%.
Obviously, he's going to see Chelsea, and then he's going to be so pissed.
Like, prize money for various acts. Like, the tempters, you get a kiss, you get, like, $50.
It's like
that should be written, that should be into the contract that we don't see, but yes, absolutely.
It's someone like in production.
Yeah, like a threesome for a grand. You get a grand for every threesome.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of Too Hot to Handle, where you actually get money for the group of tempters for all sexual activity. Yeah, they need to be paid commission.
It's a basic sales incentive program. It's just business.
We need Tempter Temptress Academy. Spinoff show.
Hosted by Matt and Brittany. Pitch it, guys.
Thank you. And we will graduate that to Mark Wahlberg. That's such a good
idea. We'll be the godmother and the godfather of the show. We can visit the
island. And like at the end of each episode.
And dole out advice.
At the end of each episode, Britt and I meet with Mark L. Wahlberg in like a room, like a boardroom. And we explain to give him like our pitch on these people.
Yes. And we have stills, like photos.
From the school.
Yeah, there needs to be like very strict criteria. We need to follow a set curriculum. We need
Get Mark Long to pitch it. He gets shows picked up. Right?
At the end of the episode, it's Brittany when she says, two tempters stand before me, but I have only one picture in my hands.
It'd be intense.
Oh my gosh.
Good show.
It would be so exciting. We need to get this in the works.
We need professional
tempters and temptresses is what this show
and it's
is.
For the betterment That's of the actual saying. Program and Brittany
absolutely
and I will cast the perfect people for this
not mess around with any of these people from the chicken fight who you've never seen before. they will make it past round one of our tempter temptress not even the first round.
Should we talk about Thomas's video from Chelsea?
Yes. She basically just says that she does not know what the future holds, but she can't go backwards. They came here to grow and be better people.
Yeah, he's super mad. He says their messages were polar opposites, and he's so embarrassed. You can tell. He's like so upset and embarrassed.
So embarrassed, and so he's so sad.
Tom goes into a vortex. Like he's like on a different planet in that moment. Everything is bad for him.
Yeah, he also I'm sorry. He brought her here, right? Like she said in one of the episodes that like she had to be convinced to come by him. Like.
I don't understand why. Like, what was really in it for him? I could see him forcing her on this program if he was going to get there and like go Kendall and just like go crazy, like without. But he's not really doing a whole.
He just wanted to be on TV.
Yeah. Get some clout.
Was this the only show hiring or casting at the time? I mean, I don't know if this was the best fit.
I saw something recently where it was like both Tom and Chelsea have their jobs on LinkedIn listed as like a very specific like actor thing and where is it? I need
well,
to
Tom, so this was I, this was going to be some sort of exposure for them
perhaps
that's yeah I think okay. I saw some theories that maybe Chelsea and Tom were not a real couple.
Okay.
That would be fun.
I'm trying to
You're right. Oh, I think
he hasn't listed as professional actor. His their About Me on LinkedIn for both of them says currently a bi-coastal film and television actor.
Wow. Temptation Island is quite a springboard to that career.
Oh, yes. What a springboard indeed. All of our most famous, when you watch the Oscars, it's like that guy from Temptation Island, and then that girl was his girlfriend on Temptation Island, and now she is winning the Academy Award for actress in a motion picture. That's amazing. It's always
did you train at Juilliard? Oh, no. I went to Temptation Island. Incredible.
I went to Brittany and Matt's Tempter Temptress Academy. You watch the show.
Let's make it happen. Kristen and I will podcast about it. For sure.
Yeah, you could have stopped me. Academy. That, I think, qualifies as Hot Dummies on an Island, so I would be morally and legally obligated to podcast about it. So
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Well, there we go, Matt. We have two viewers.
Oh, you have more than two viewers.
Start somewhere.
I feel good about it.
Okay, yeah. So this episode ends with Tom saying that her insecurity about his flirty nature was her projecting and that he doesn't think she even wants a relationship. And then he throws the yellow foam ball across the backyard.
The stress ball.
Oh my God. I laughed so hard when he threw that foam ball. I make my husband watch this show with me. And my husband goes, get out of here. It made me die laughing. Like, that was just like the peak of his rage. He just throws this Nerf ball and my husband's like, get out of here.
Ryan's had enough.
That's so funny.
Get out of here, Nerf ball. I'm angry.
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh, little Tom. He's just in the throes of emotions. I mean, he can't control himself.
He's got some very big feelings right now in his little body.
Big feelings. Yeah. That's words I use with my kids. Any big feelings today? Tom had big feelings today.
Okay, so in all of your perfect worlds, how would this season end?
Like, more cheating.
Tom
should go off the rails next episode and just definitely
off the rails.
Yeah, like be all of that Sophia Chicken, whoever else. Maybe you can grab up that Natalie girl too. What's her name?
Nicole.
It would be great if he needs to scoop up Nicole. We need to see now not only are relationships breaking down in the separate villas, we need to see relationship breakdown in the villas themselves as well. Mm-hmm. And cheating. And taking each other's feet. That's what we need. That's what we need to reinvigorate to breathe new life into the season.
This is our second season of threesomes. It's time to up the game. We need like two guys and two girls, like the two of the contestants with their partners, but
just
combined.
Just a full-on group sex.
Yeah.
We've never had that, like an orgy scene like that.
That's how you become a legend of Temptation Island.
Yeah, we could maybe have the whole villa participate, and then that's a great party.
The drunk party and turn it into a sex party.
Yes, maybe what we need to breathe new life into this
a
program.
Key party. Would that make things any better?
You can do anything.
That's a key.
I mean,
Maggie about a key party.
I don't know.
You do it, Kirsten.
Hey, Maggie. Sometimes you know when you're in a couple, wanna sleep with people that aren't in your couple, and so you put your keys in a bowl, and then people like draw the keys, and they go hook up with the person whose keys that they have drawn.
People do that, and you three all know about that.
Swingers do that.
That's a well-known enough thing that all three of you knew about that.
Yeah, like
I feel so out of the loop. Wow,
I feel guilty Maggie about that.
Hold on, crossover. To 90 Day Fiancé. Do you think that's what Brandon and Julia's parents do? Because they are swingers.
Yes, 100%.
Brandon's parents.
And better crossover, we will accept all 90 Day Fiancé participants have an express pass to the Tempter and Temptress training.
They don't even need the training, probably.
No, they're
they
the
don't
couple.
Even
they're
need the training.
Minty,
they get to go
Minty is
off.
There immediately.
Minty's going to bring big drama.
Absolutely. Yes. One of Jovi's strippers will be there.
Jovi would be great so on this show.
The girl, the blonde girl who has Jovi a truck and offered Zayd to use her truck.
Oh my gosh.
She's a temptress.
The girl who cuts my hair. The girl who cuts my hair.
The barber.
They have a connection.
And his trailer neighbor, too, that girl.
Tammy
and
or
Uncle
Tracy.
Uncle Bo
or...
for Natalie.
Uncle Bo can come in.
Stylish man ever.
And what's his name? Ryan? Ryan and Harris Bowles.
Oh my God.
It's going to be amazing. They get the express pass. They can come on whenever they want.
Absolutely.
They can do whatever they want. They can command the highest price. Fine. That's what we need. To breathe new life into this show.
I think we're on to something here. I'm so here for it.
We need to pitch this to a network immediately.
Honestly, that's exactly
what are they
produce.
Thinking?
Jovi would deliver. Jovi would be the Kendall.
Over deliver.
Yeah,
absolutely. But then Yara would be just like Yara actually okay with everything too. She'd be like, all right, well, okay, Jovi. Whatever. That's fine.
Jovi, you're annoying me.
Yeah, she would be like so unbothered. She'd be like, okay, whatever.
Like, she'd just be happy to get a break from Jovi to be in separate villas.
Yeah, she'd be excited. She'd be like, I don't even care.
Natalie would be constantly breaking down.
Constant.
Oh, I love it.
That'd be a good show. Minty,
right, yeah, well, really would.
Minty would be the perfect temptress.
Minty
she
would be
is
great.
The ultimate temptress.
She is like temptress. The villainess of the season.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Okay,
so is there anything else, Temptation Island, that you want to talk before we wrap this pod?
I think we've talked it to death. I think we're done.
Honestly,
I just would like to say to all of the contestants of Temptation Island, the tempters and temptresses and the couples. We really appreciate you. Thank you for, as you can tell by our glowing commentary, we really like you guys. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
They don't know what a podcast is. We're fine. It's
the same. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah, I think that's it. That's all. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. This is a highlight of at least my week, if not
month. I'll take it. Week's good. It's good 7 days.
A week is pretty good. Yeah, it's good.
I got my second vaccine dose, so I can't say it is the highlight of my week, but it is a close second.
Yeah,
so.
You're in a country that's giving people vaccines. Must be nice.
Like, she's in Canada.
Which one did you get? Did you get
I got the Pfizer. Yeah.
Okay.
I went to the Javits Center in New York and got the second one today. I'm worried that I'll be sick tomorrow because everybody said day after they've like had symptoms. But
yes, I got insanely sick on the second one, but I had Moderna.
Really?
So yeah.
Okay.
I'm so sick. Wow. But I've heard Fingers people crossed. Tolerate Pfizer better. So maybe you'll be okay.
Hopefully. I'm hoping.
Good to know.
Either way. I've got a bottle of Gatorade at the ready, so.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
You might need it.
Wonderful. Matt, Brittany, is there anything that you want to, like, get people to follow you or anything? Not, like, anything that you want to plug before we go?
Yeah, where can people find you on social media?
What do you want to plug, Brittany?
My social media is so boring. Honestly, I don't recommend that you check it out. If you just feel really compelled, it is Brittany_Haynes. But it's just pictures of my kids and my dog. So it's not as exciting as even Temptation Island season 2. So
I'm on Twitter at
MH
Moonves. So go ahead and follow her.
I forgot that you did that. Oh God.
Of course. That's... Iconic.
Okay. And Maggie, what else do you have going on right now?
I'm podcasting about Big Brother Canada sometimes. And I'm talking about Temptation Island, which is great. And yeah, you can find me on Twitter at _MLMorgan and on Instagram at @MLMorgan_. Which, look, I didn't have
so many underscores.
Yeah.
Stop. I didn't have like the @MLMorgan_ was the one I wanted, but it wasn't available on Twitter and I didn't want to put a number in because then it gets complicated. It's a whole story, but I do get heckled about it. So
has Rob rated your username yet?
He hasn't, but I'm sure it would get a pretty low rating because
he doesn't like the underscores. He hates underscores.
Because it's different and it's in
fun. It's the confusion that's different. Yeah. How it's like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember Enzo from our season when he got off, like the height of his relevancy, arguably, and the most confusing handles with like it was like an underscore, then the word the, then like two underscores maybe, and then meow,
and then the meow, like, yeah, an underscore another somehow. One,
and like a real character on a keyboard, and another meow, and then like a couple more underscores. I was like, Enzo, what are you doing with the season?
Oh my gosh,
that's incredible!
I don't even follow him, and I should. Is he on Twitter now?
I have not a clue.
I don't know. I think
no one Instagram.
Never mind. Must not be that exciting.
I follow his Instagram. He has funny stories. Instagram stories. Okay.
Oh, he is on Instagram? All right. We'll send that.
Well, yeah, okay.
Everyone go follow Enzo on Instagram also.
That's what I'm plugging. I'm plugging Enzo's Instagram. Forget about the MH Moonves thing. I just delete that part. Plug Enzo.
Okay, yeah, so everyone go follow Enzo on Instagram. And also, if you want more from me, you can find me on every platform at Kirsten Said What, as well as continuing to talk about bad shows, talking about Riverdale every week with Frail Mary on Kowski Cast, and then talking about one good show, BoJack Horseman, every week on BoJack Horse Pod. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and we will see you next week. Bye.